Because we're going to talk about 1 Thessalonians 4 on Sunday night, a couple of weeks. But I want to step back and give the big picture before we look into it next week, and then we'll read it tonight. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 is what is commonly called the rapture. But I want to sort of look at the whole Bible to see where all that fits in. But we will read verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as those which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious and your wonderful word. And Lord, help us to just learn more of it and to know your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible is simply divided into two parts, and you know them. The Old Testament and the New Testament. When we come to the Old Testament, it is divided in books by three basic parts. First, there is the history from Genesis down to Esther. That's kind of divided into two parts. The first five books are the books of Moses, and the next 12 books are historical. That's historical. Then the second section is poetry, written by Job and Psalms and Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and Proverbs. And then the last section is the prophets, another 17 books. You can kind of picture it as two platforms, one here and one here, the same size. And that is divided into two parts, the major prophets and the minor prophets. Major just because it was Isaiah, Jeremiah, they're big books. When you come to the New Testament is divided fairly simply into two parts. One, history, and two, the epistles or the letters. First, history is sort of two parts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the history of Christ. They show his life from four different perspectives. The book of Acts is the history of the church. And then the epistles or the letters written were written during the time of the book of Acts, including even the Gospels were written during the time of the book of Acts. And they're divided into two parts. Paul's letters. And Paul wrote his letters to churches. Romans, written to the church at Rome. 1 Corinthians, written to the church at Corinth. Galatians, written to the churches of Galatia. All those letters were written to churches or to individuals. 1 Timothy, written to the pastor Timothy. Titus and the rest. So he either wrote it to individual churches or to individual people. The general letters are James and 1 Peter and all the way to the end. They were written to the church at large. That's why they're called the general letters. They weren't written to a specific church. James wrote his letter to be included in all the churches, and that's what Peter did in too. When you come to the Bible, people look at it differently. I'm not going to get into all that. There are two sides to it, but I'm going to get into all that. But as I look at the scripture, there is one salvation plan. That is, Genesis 1 through 11 is the introduction where the Bible is where people have fallen into sin. And beginning in Genesis 12, then God must call a people, and it begins the process of bringing about salvation. Abraham and Paul said in Galatians that it was clearly going to be by faith. It wasn't going to be by works, by anything. Abraham was saved by faith. He trusted the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. The scripture in the New Testament clearly says that. And so the Old Testament, but there's one plan all the way through, all the way to the end. That's very important. There's one plan, faith in Christ. Now, the Old Testament understood it a little differently. We understand it a little better, but it's still one plan. Then God did two things. He first used Israel in the Old Testament as the instrument. I wish I could think of a better word, but as the instrument by which the plan would come. And Israel did two things. They first descended from Abraham. Then he had 12 tribes, and then 12 tribes formed the nation Israel. And they were a nation, and they were Jews, and they came from the one man, Abraham. That's who they were. They developed into a mighty nation. And God did that for two reasons. One, to deposit his scriptures. If it were not for the Jewish people, you and I would not have the Bible. They became a nation, and God had the inspiration of those writing were prophets and different people, and so they wrote down and recorded. And the Jews, particularly the Masoretes, were very meticulous. You know, they didn't have copiers where they just go and make copies. They did it on parchment, and Hebrew is written from right to left, and it has no vowels. That's why sometimes when you hear the name Jehovah or Yahweh, people say it differently, because in Hebrew there are no vowels, it's just consonant, and it goes from right to left. If you'll ever look in a Strong's Concordance and look at Hebrew, I did not learn Hebrew. It looks like chicken scratches, what it looks like. I mean, it's amazing. But it was written in Hebrew, but God gave the scriptures to them, and the Masoretes protected it. They were so particular that they made sure they would count each line. Let's see. Okay, that's 32 letters. And then that'd be there, and that's 33 letters. So then when someone copied it and made another copy, they would count. There's 34 letters in there instead of 32. Somebody made a mistake and copy it. So they would come back and correct that. So the scriptures were given through Israel. That was God's plan, the nation, to provide and protect the scriptures. When Paul is talking in the book of Romans, and he says that the Jewish people, you're not going to heaven because you're Jews. You must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he answers the question they would probably say, well, what was the point of being a Jew then? And Paul says, well, very important. They were entrusted with the oracles of God. And that's what they did. They protected the scriptures. And so the Jewish nation was the instrument that protected the scriptures, but they also were the instrument that prepared the way for Christ. The Jewish people of those who were saved looked forward to Christ. And the Old Testament is amazing in how much in the tabernacle system, the sacrificial system, how much the prophets wrote. All of it is slow revelations of the person of Christ and salvation coming through him. And it always looked forward in getting ready for the Lord Jesus Christ, preparing the way. And that's what the Old Testament nation Israel did. Now, there are some things when you study, you go, okay, what are these people doing? There may be some passage of scripture you don't quite understand. That's because it's a different culture, a different time, but it's still God working through them to bring about salvation. When we come to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew through John comes and proclaims and teaches, but then he dies on the cross. So salvation has now been accomplished. They looked forward to the coming of Christ, and they trusted in the person of Christ looking forward. But Christ died for our sins. Then the book of Acts, he ascended into heaven, and the Holy Spirit was given to indwell the church as a whole and to indwell the individual as a whole. And so now we come to the second instrument that God uses, and that's the church. See, Israel was a nation. They were a nation. We're not a nation. We're the church. And the thing about the church is everywhere. See, in the Old Testament, Israel was just one nation in one place. Now, God reached others, but they were a nation to get ready to prepare the way and to bring the scriptures. When we come to the New Testament, the Lord now has accomplished salvation And now we're in the church. I still say, you don't know how smart God is. Because he got a church everywhere. Particularly in the South. He got a church everywhere. But in other places, he got a church everywhere. Church here, church there, church there, church there, church there. Because now we're not a nation anymore. We're not ruled as a nation. We're serve the Lord in this local assembly. Or someone serves the Lord in that local assembly. Missionaries who are overseas serve the Lord in some other assembly. God has a church everywhere. You know, I just read on the news this week, or a little segment about it, that they were talking about a church in North Korea. Secret church. And the headline of the thing was, it's amazing how the Bible causes a place to grow. Didn't know that, did you? A little church over there in North Korea, hidden. I bet if we were to find the Lord to somehow open the eyes and people would see, we'd probably find out there might be more going on than we know. God has a church everywhere. God uses our church for here. He uses a church over there at West where Rick went, and there's a cowboy church. They all wear cowboy boots and cowboy hats and cowboy things. And you know what they do? They reach the cowboys. And there's a church here and church there. That's God's wisdom. Now, we're not preparing for salvation. It's already occurred. We're now proclaiming salvation to the world. It's what we as Southern Baptists do. That's why we give a cooperative program. That's why we give to Lottie Moon and all the different things, because we send money to all the missionaries all around the world, and in America, in the state of Georgia, all around the world, because that's what we're about, proclaiming the gospel. It is the church. And guess what? The church did just like Israel. God gave the word through the church. Paul the apostle wrote most of the New Testament. James and Peter, the apostles, many of them wrote the New Testament, and they protected, and now the copies are passed down, and now you and I have a Bible, the New Testament, because the church was God's instrument and is still God's instrument. Now, we come to this passage of Scripture, which I'm not going to deal with tonight, but I want to just set it up. Well, where does it fit in? When Christ came, Jesus told his disciples when they first went in Matthew 10, he said, go only to the lost sheep of Israel. Don't go to the Gentile. Only the lost sheep of Israel. You know what happened as time went on. The nation as a whole rejected Christ. Now, that didn't mean individuals didn't, because when we come to the New Testament, there was some of the conflict, because within a local church, they had both Jews and Gentiles. And part of the conflict that Paul had to deal with is some of the Jewish Christians wanted to go back to some of the Old Testament Jewish laws. And so there was a conflict. And Gentiles who did not have Jewish laws said, we're free in Christ. And so it was a little conflict, because both Jews and Gentiles were saved. But the nation as a whole, who put Christ on the cross? The Jewish leaders and the Jewish religious leaders. They rejected Christ. Now, I sort of say it this way. As I understand the scripture, not everyone would agree with this, but as I understand the scripture, because Israel rejected God, God set them aside as his instrument now. And now his instrument is the church. But there's going to come a time, because of his promises and because of what he promised through Abraham, there's going to come a time when he's going to say, you know what? I'm not going to reject my people. He even talks about it in Romans 11, where he warns the Gentiles and said, okay, the branches have been set aside, but you be careful too, because they did not believe. And you were grafted into that one branch. But now there's going to come a time when God says, you know what? I will not abandon my promises. I'm going to deal with the nation Israel. I'm going to cause them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not going to be my instrument, but I'm going to cause them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this passage of Scripture, what is it? I'm not going to get into the details, but I just want to give you, going back, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, which means those who've died, who's passed away, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, and board means precede them which are asleep. In 1 Corinthians, he says, I want to show you a mystery. And a mystery is not a mystery. It's not a Nancy Drew mystery. It's something hidden from the Old Testament people. But he said, I'm going to show you a mystery now, the New Testament. Not every one of us is going to die. Not every one of us is going to die. But we will be changed. That's what he's describing here. That we which are alive remain to the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. All those have already gone to heaven. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The reason it's called the rapture is it's the Latin word which means that we will be caught up. And that's what the word rapture means. It's not a biblical term, but it came to be called popularly the rapture, when we're caught up. And what he says is, back in verse 14, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, that have died in Christ or in heaven, will God bring with him. He'll bring them back. And they'll be joined to their bodies in the grave, be changed and resurrected just like that. Then he says, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's where the word rapture comes. Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I understand Rick taught a lesson on the difference between the second coming and the rapture. And I hadn't looked at the notes, so I'm going to have to look at those, you know. But the rapture is when we're caught up in the air. Second coming is when Jesus Christ comes back. Why the rapture? Well, as I understand it, the way it all fits in, is we're not going through the tribulation. We're not going through it because the 7 years of tribulation are not for the church. They're for Israel. Israel has rejected Christ. And so now there's a third phase. That third phase is God's going to fulfill his promises, and he's going to help Israel to see that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and they will believe. If you read Revelation, 144,000 Jewish evangelists goes out there persecuted like crazy by the Antichrist, but they come to acknowledge him as the Savior. That's the whole point of it. For us, he says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. If it were to happen tonight or tomorrow, don't understand all of it, but if it were to happen, you and I who happen to be alive when Jesus Christ comes, we'd be changed just like that and caught right up. And those who are in the grave will be joined with their bodies, and they'll be caught up and be resurrected. And we will be with the Lord forever and ever 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 and ever. You see, the final thing that God must do, I'm saved. You're saved. The Spirit of God lives in me. The Spirit of God lives in you. But I'm trapped in my fallen body. Some of we talked a little bit out there tonight. Sometimes these fallen bodies get Alzheimer's. My mother was a wonderful Christian. Towards the end of her life, she wouldn't have known who Jesus Christ was if you'd asked her. Why? She lost her salvation? No. Her body decayed. Her body came apart. And the truth is that what happened to her was that the Lord Jesus Christ, what happened to her was that she began to deteriorate in this body. In this body. But she, as a person, was saved. And when she passed away, we laid her body in the ground. But she went on to immediately be with the Lord in heaven. To be absent from the body, 1 Corinthians says, it means to be present with the Lord. To be present with the Lord means to be absent from the body. Well, preacher, have you gone to heaven and found that? No, I just know what the scripture said. So there's coming a day when God will say, you know what? Whatever they are in heaven, I'm not sure. God may have given them a temporary body. I'm not sure. But the truth is, God's going to resurrect this body, and we will live whole, and I guess I'll look like me. Probably look like a fine 25-year-old. Good looking. No, I don't know about that. It ain't going to matter. You know, how are we going to know one another? Well, you're going to be resurrected in your body. You know, I look out here and go, oh, there's so-and-so and so-and-so. You know how I know you? You look like you. Well, that's how I'm going to know you. You're going to look like you. Because he says, when we were alive, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he says these words. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's important. You know what's sad in America? Because evolution has been taught, and I'm going to tell you something. If you think we're living in the same America we were 50 years ago, we are not. And I'm going to tell you, there are people out there who are hostile to Christianity. Now, forgive me, but I'm not going to go knocking door by door by door. I'm not going to do it unless I know who that is. Because there's some crazy people out there. I run into them. They hate God and they hate Christianity. They're no longer living in 1960. They hate God. Now, not everybody does. A lot of people love the Lord. But there's some people that don't. And you know what they have in life? Nothing. To them, when they die, that's it. Isn't that sad? You know what happens when I die? I'm going to heaven. You know what's going to happen one day? Lord's going to bring me back. He's going to join me to my body. Bam, it will be changed in an instant. And I will live with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's why the Bible says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And it also says back in there, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or that is, those who passed away, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We sorrow, but we don't sorrow without hope. I ain't going to tell you. I'm not even going to tell you. There's a man. I better be careful. Don't go to our church, nothing. And he made the comment he could not stand preachers at funerals. Couldn't stand them. Because they were teaching false doctrine. You know, he was a Sunday school teacher in the church. And this guy was telling me about it. Oh, really? Yeah. He said, you know why he said they're teaching false doctrine? Because they're teaching that when people die, they go to heaven. He said, that's not true. When you die, you go to sleep and you're in that ground, that's it. Then one day God will resurrect you. I often thought when he passed away, if he truly knew the Lord, he probably found out then it wasn't true. Knew another fella, I'll tell you who, years ago, who said to me, preacher, you know what? When I die, I'm just going to be asleep. I won't know nothing. Then one day, God will resurrect me. I said, so you're just going to be, you're going to be in the ground, and that's it? You won't know nothing till the Lord resurrects? He said, that's what it is. It's a commonly thing called soul sleep. That is not what the scripture teaches. Because it says in verse 14, he's going to bring back with him those who've already gone. So we look forward to that day. We rejoice in that day. And we're going to study a little more about it. But the rapture is for us. So God will take 7 years to deal with Israel. And then will come the end. I'm not ready for today, for it to end. Got a lot of living to do. But I'm ready. I'm ready. I hope you are. I'm ready for Jesus to come back any day. And I hope when we're caught up together, I want the Lord to give me just a little grace. I'll be able to say, I told you it's going to happen. One of the best stories, I think I've told this before, because I've told everything over 100 times, but I'll tell it again. Preacher was told, when he told of this rapture one day, he said, you know what? He had a terrible situation. He came home and his little baby had turned blue and the baby had died. It's a sad thing. Crib death. And he said, but you know what? I'm looking forward to that day when the Lord Jesus Christ brings us back. And you know what I think the Lord's going to do? He and I are going to be caught up together. Hey, Daddy, how you doing? They've already seen one another in heaven, but now they're going to be caught up together. Isn't this great? Never have forgotten that. Adrian Rogers. You ever heard of him? Great preacher. Folks, always remember, we're blessed. God is good. And no matter what we go through, we're looking forward to something much greater. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you so much for the truth of what your scripture says. And Lord, we thank you that those who have passed away are in heaven. And we thank you, Lord, that one day they will come back and be joined to their bodies. And if we happen to be the ones alive at that time, we'll be caught up together with them. And we'll be glorified forever and ever and ever. Thank you, Lord. We'll be free, totally free, because our body will not suffer pain or sin or sickness or anything else. So thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.